The Moon Base by Kit Pedler, Episode 3. The Cyberman advances as the Doctor and his human friends back away in silent horror. Bob rushes forward to attack the Cyberman with a metal bar.
Quick, get over there!
But a second Cyberman appears and fires his weapon. Smoke begins to pour from Bob's body, and he crashes lifeless to the floor.
You devils, you killed him! An unarmed man!
Get up! See that they remain there. Kills!
The first Cyberman uses a transmitter to contact the cybership on the surface.
Operational system 2 now on, please. Operational system 2 now on, please.
The message is received aboard the cybership.
Ready to start operational system 3. Understood. Operational system 3 will.
Deactivating his communicator, the Cyberman surveys his captives one by one before stopping in front of the Doctor.
You are known to us.
And you to me.
Silence. Who is in command?
I am.
You will be needed.
What have you done with my men?
They will return.
They're not dead?
No, they are not dead. They are altered.
Altered? What have you done to them?
They are now controlled.
If you do anything to
do nothing.
The second Cyberman moves over to the remaining patients, examining each one. All are covered with the strange black lines. Finally, he reaches Jamie, who is still unconscious.
Receive the neurotropics. Stand by.
Please, leave him alone. His head is hurt. He's had an accident.
His head? Then he will be of no value. The others are ready for conversion. You will now take us to the control center.
I'll be damned if...
The Cyberman trains his gun on Hobson.
Through here.
Hobson leads the Cyberman and the Doctor from the room. The remaining Cyberman turns to Ben and Polly.
You will remain here. If you leave, you will be converted like the others.
The Cyberman leaves Ben and Polly alone.
I don't like that word, converted.
Aboard the cybership, three of the infected men from the base, Dr. Evans, France and Ralph, are being converted. Lying on bare surgical tables, they are all fitted with an intricate metal headpiece that has the power to control their minds.
Raise your left arm.
All three men lift their arms in unison.
Raise your right arm.
As one, the men obey.
Control is excellent. Transfer that one to the capsule.
Two Cybermen wheel out a canister just large enough to contain a man. Evans is lifted bodily into the capsule and locked inside. In the weather control room, Benoit and the team are working at their posts, oblivious to the drama playing out elsewhere.
It's about time we heard from those two outside. Let's have a word with them.
All yours, Roger.
Surface party, come in, please. Surface party, come in, please.
on the lunar surface, a communicator light flashes dimly on an empty spacesuit, quietly signaling to its missing owner.
Surface party, come in. We are not receiving you. Over. Can we see the control antenna from here?
No, Roger. Just round that first bluff outside the main port.
Well, we'll have to send someone else out, so get ready to...
Oh, get back! 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 These things are lethal!
No one will move. You will remain still. If you move, you will be ill.
Where are they? How did they get in?
Silence. We are Cybermen. You will listen.
But you were all killed.
We are here to take over the Ravitron and use it to destroy the surface of the Earth by changing the weather.
But that will kill everybody on the Earth.
Yes.
You're supposed to be so advanced. Yeah, you are taking your revenge like children.
Revenge? What is that?
The feeling people have...
Feeling. Feeling. Yes, we know of this weirdness of yours. We are fortunate. We do not possess feelings.
Then why are you here?
To eliminate all dangers.
But you'll kill every living thing on the Earth.
Yes, all dangers will be eliminated.
Have you no mercy?
It is unnecessary. Keep watch on them.
While a second Cyberman guards the prisoners, the first readies his communication device.
No, Roger, no.
Operational system 4. Operational system 4. Operational system 4 complete. Entry to base now complete.
Entry. How did you get in?
It was very simple. Only stupid Earth brains like yours would have been fooled.
Go on.
Since we couldn't approach direct, we came up under the surface and cut our way through your storeroom, contaminating your food supplies on the way. A simple hole, that's all.
A hole? That explains those sudden air pressure drops we've been recording.
Clever.
The mood in the sick bay is gloomy.
Hey, what do you think you're doing?
Jamie, much recovered, tries to get out of bed.
You seem to be better.
I feel myself again.
Lie back there.
But I'm better. Oh, my head.
Yeah, well, take it easy, mate.
At least you know it's not your McCrimmon Piper anyway.
I had me worried, though, I admit that.
Yeah, well, those Cybermen have got us all worried, mate. We've seen them in action before.
They must have some weakness.
They have, don't you remember? They can't stand radiation.
Yes, but where do we find that here?
Well, there's a gravitron power pack, but that's thermonuclear. No one can get near it once it's going.
Why not?
Well, because, Duchess, the temperature inside is about 4 million degrees, that's all.
Well, in my day, they used to sprinkle witches with holy water.
In fact, a lot of use that would be on them.
Polly notices her chipped nails.
Holy water. Ben.
Yeah?
What are the Cybermen covered in?
As far as I know, their suit is a metal of some sort.
Mm. Well, what about that thing on their chests? You know, the part which replaces their hearts and lungs.
Some sort of plastic, I think.
I thought so. You see, it's simple. Nail varnish remover dissolves nail varnish. Nail varnish is a plastic. So we do what Jamie says. We sprinkle them, see?
No, I don't. Clear as mud, if you ask me.
Well, anyway, I'm going to try an experiment.
Yes, Professor.
In the control room, the doors slide open, and Hobson and the others watch in amazement as Ralph, Dr. Evans, and Jules file into the room, followed by a third Cyberman.
Jules. Dr. Evans, I thought he was dead. I thought they were all dead.
Better if they were, by the look of it.
The technicians leave their seats and move to stand by the wall. The Cyberman turns to Hobson and Benoit.
You will move. Tell the operators in the power unit to come out. Now.
Hobson reluctantly moves to the microphone and addresses his men in the Gravitron power room.
All right, you can all see what's happening. Come out, leave the machine, and don't try anything.
The technicians file out of the room. The third Cyberman operates the remote control unit in his hand. The converted men file silently into the Gravitron room and sit down at the controls.
But you can't send them in there without the protective helmets.
Why?
The machine produces very intense sonic fields. Without the helmets, those men will be insane in a few hours.
How many hours?
12, possibly.
Then there is no problem.
Why?
Our purpose will be achieved before that.
But what about the men?
They will be disposed of.
The doctor has been watching the Cybermen with great interest. He edges slowly over to the RT unit by the door and gently turns up the volume. As a Cyberman starts to turn, the doctor quickly resets the control. Back in the sick bay, Polly has collected together all the bottles of chemicals she can find.
Ben?
Yeah?
What is nail varnish remover?
Well, it's a sort of thinner, something like acetone, I think.
Acetone, of course. Great, we've got some of that. Now, keep your fingers crossed.
Polly drops some plastic into the acetone and watches it dissolve.
It works!
I still don't know what you're on about.
If we can sprinkle some of that on their chest units, it might help to soften them.
Oh, I get it. You mean it'll clobber their controls or something?
Yes, that's it.
Yeah, but how do we know that acetone would dissolve their sort of plastic?
Oh, I hadn't thought of that.
Just a moment, though. If we make up a mixture...
of all the solvents...
what have we got?
Benzene... ether? Alcohol?
It would brew a right old cocktail.
Yeah. Wait a minute. How are we going to throw it at them?
Well, in bottles, I suppose. Now, just a tip, though. I've got a better idea.
Prepare to align the field reactors.
At the signal from the Cyberman's control unit, the humans in the Gravitron room obey the commands instantly.
So much trouble.
What do you mean?
Well, why didn't they operate the controls themselves?
While the Cybermen are preoccupied, the doctor moves back to the RT unit and adjusts the volume and pitch once more. Immediately, the humans in the Gravitron room begin to lose coordination.
What is happening? There is long on control.
Thought so. Sonic control. That should be easy.
The doctor resets the dials, talking softly to himself.
Funny. Funny. Go to all that trouble to make the men do the work. Why?
Do it themselves, easy.
They're using the men as tools. Why?
No.
Yes, I do, though. It must be something in here they don't like.
Pressure.
Electricity. Radiation.
Maybe.
Gravity. Now, there's a thought. Gravity.
Oh, yes. Gravity.
Start probe generators. Realign the probe.
Within its protected dome, the Gravitron probe swings round.
The whole Earth with that field takes hold.
We've got to do something.
Earth Control calling Moonbase. Come in, please.
Remain still.
Hello, Moonbase. Come in, please.
You will all be
Moonbase, come in, please. Hello? Reading on 5-centimeter band. Come in. Your last routine signal was not received. Over. We are not receiving you. Over. If you hear us and cannot transmit, fire sodium rocket. We shall see flare.
What does that mean?
It's a distress rocket. It ejects sodium into space, and then the sun lights the sodium into a yellow flare.
What will your Earth do if they do not see the flare?
Well, they'll think we're all dead. They'll do nothing.
Standing by to observe flare.
As a Cyberman turns the radio off, Hobson speaks privately to Benoit.
If they don't get our next transmission, they'll send up a relief rocket.
So, get it? This bottle holds the stuff that puts the fire out, and this cylinder pushes gas into the bottle so that stuff squirts out here. Now, all we've got to do is undo it, empty it, and fill it with polycopter.
Got it already here.
Good. And what did you put in it?
Let's think. Benzene, ether, alcohol, acetone, and epoxy propane.
Oh, blimey, one of them should do it. Now, we'll need another one of these.
Right, I'll get it.
Now, you stay where you are, Jamie.
Jamie, you're not well enough.
It takes money we cracking the head to keep him a criminal down.
Look, mate, we don't want you cracking up on us. I'm sure Polly's very impressed.
Look, I said I was better.
And you like me to prove it to you? Any time, mate.
Look, come on. Haven't we got enough trouble without you two fighting each other?
Well, I go.
No, well, come on, then.
But not you, Polly. This is men's work.
As the rumble of the gravitron rises, one of the men slumps in his chair. Hobson is appalled.
You'll kill them!
If you do not remain silent, you will be able to brain control.
The Cyberman twists a dial on his control box, and the slumped man jerks upright in his chair and resumes his task.
Look,
you maybe go hurt and I go back.
I'm coming with you, and that's flat. You still need someone to look after.
Look, I don't know where you're going. There's no time for it. If you're coming, come on.
Together, Jamie, Ben, and Polly move to the control room door.
Now, look, we've only got one chance. When I open the door, drop down as low as you can, aim these things at their chests, and squirt like mad, right?
Great.
Now, get ready.
Inside, a Cyberman has heard their approach.
Someone is there.
A high-pitched tone cuts the air, and the converted humans freeze like statues.
The beam is jammed.
Suspecting the Doctor is responsible, the Cybermen turn on him, just as Ben, Jamie, and Polly burst into the room.
Keep it going! Get the testing!
The jets of solvent erupt from the converted fire extinguishers and splash over the Cybermen's chest units, which instantly begin to emit bubbles and distort. The silver giant's limbs begin to jerk spasmodically, and they clutch helplessly at their rapidly dissolving life support, before their movements at last grow feeble, and all three crash to the floor, lifeless.
Quick! Get these things off their heads!
Ben, Polly, and Jamie dash into the graviton room and remove the headsets from the control men. Unfrozen, the men slump unconscious.
Come on, get your places quick. There's not a moment to lose. We've got to get the gravitron down to a safe level.
What about those poor men?
Shift them along to the medical unit quick as you can.
In the cybership, the cyber leader attempts to make contact with his underlings at the base.
We are not receiving you. We are not receiving you. They must have failed. Yes. We must invade now. Prepare the weapons. Yes.
The last of the converted men is carried from the gravitron room, and some semblance of order returns.
Before all this, we lost contact with those two men outside.
Oh, we'll send someone else out.
Can't spare anyone. I'll go myself.
All right. Field strength is stable, isn't it?
Yes. Yes, it's all right.
Keep an RT contact and be quick.
What?
Niels?
Yep.
Hook your controls into Joe's channel. Then get up into the dome and keep an eye on Roger when he's outside.
Right.
Out on the surface by the broken antenna, Benoit soon finds what he's looking for.
Hello, base. them. At least I've found their suits. They've got them, I'm afraid.
Well, there's nothing we can do about that now. You better come inside as quick as you can.
I will.
Stubbs, there's one of the things outside. He's after Roger Benoit.
Did you hear that, Roger?
Yes, I did, but he must be mistaken. There's no one to be seen around here.
Benoit peers around warily. From the shadows, a Cyberman emerges and draws its weapon. Benoit stumbles backwards and raises his arms as if to ward off the blast.
No.
The Cyberman fires his weapon, but nothing happens.
Did you see that? Those things don't work in the vacuum.
Benoit backs away towards the base, where Ben is frantically dismantling one of the fire extinguishers.
Can't you just squirt it at them like you did just now?
Well, because, Duchess, it would vaporize in the vacuum before it hits them. There, now come on.
Snatching up the glass cylinder full of polycocktail, Ben runs from the room. The Cyberman chasing Benoit is advancing remorselessly, gaining ground all the time. In the low gravity, the Cyberman has a distinct advantage over the human. Reaching the airlock, Ben struggles into a spacesuit and starts the exit sequence. Nearing the entry port, Benoit stumbles on exhausted as the Cyberman bears down on him. Waits impatiently for the air to cycle out of the chamber. The Cyberman is practically on top of Benoit and reaches its arm out towards him. The airlock door opens and Ben steps out onto the surface as the Frenchman tumbles inside. Ben hurls the glass cylinder at the Cyberman's chest unit. The cylinder bursts. A cloud of vapor envelops the Cyberman and it staggers backwards. Ben drags Benoit into the safety of the airlock and closes the port doors. Slowly, the airlock chamber begins to repressurize. Outside, the Cyberman stumbles around, clutching helplessly at its dissolving chest unit, twitching and jerking out of control, screaming silently. A moment later, its legs buckle and it collapses, lifeless, in the lunar dust.
Ben's got one of them, too.
Oh, right, thanks. Now, listen, everybody. I don't know how many more of these Cybermen there are, but from our point of view, we're under siege. I reckon they'll be back in a bit. Now, communications. Charlie, keep on trying to get through to Earth, right?
Right, we'll do.
The rest of you, lower the armored doors at all exits. And you make up as much of that garbage as you've got. We may need it.
Ben staggers in, supporting Benoit.
Ground radar.
Ground radar speaking.
Have you got a fix on their ship yet?
Yes, Mr. Hobson. We're getting a strong pulse from 5-4 degrees north at about 3 kilometers.
That makes it just over the rim.
Mr. Hobson, how far can the probe be lowered down?
About 30 degrees.
That's no good.
Well, what do you mean?
Can any other part of it be lowered?
Well, the main coil lenses could be shifted round without too much trouble, but why do you want
to... Sir.
What is it?
Oh, it's so long, mate. Oh.
I'll come.
The others follow Hobson into the observation dome, where it is noticeably colder and brighter.
Oh, it's freezing. Do you think we ought to have our suits on?
Oh, no, it's all right, love. Get a gorgeous suntan.
Hobson takes the telescope.
Can't see anything.
Just to the left of the launching area. Round a bit to your left.
Still can't see anything.
No, it's there. Look, reflections in the sun.
Before Hobson's eyes, the glinting reflections on the horizon begin to take a recognizable form.
You're right, there is something.
Horrified, Hobson can only watch transfixed as two rows of Cybermen march into full view over the lip of the crater in the far distance. The Cybermen advance across the surface of the moon, heading directly for the base. Impervious to the cold vacuum of space and unaffected by the low gravity, they are a chilling sight.
It's them. They're coming. Everybody inside, quick!
The humans in the base retreat to the control room as the Cybermen march closer and closer, indefatigable. Their intentions seem very clear. They mean to take control of the moon base by any means necessary.